Back Talk is an extension of the long-running award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Friday at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Kevin Carr.
And this is Back Talk. And this is the time of year when you get some really good films, Kev.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, not only because you are a premier critic I invited you here.
Oh.
I invited you because I know something about your background that a lot of people don't.
Okay.
I think you were a competitive eater.
I was.
And
I was.
Therefore, I said, the menu. It's the menu. Made for Kevin.
It is. Well, I mean, it's slightly different because it's more like haute cuisine.
You think?
Much smaller portions.
You were chugging down hot dogs.
Yeah. You don't get like 87 ounces of baked beans or something like that. So what is on the menu? Did you bring me anything to eat? I'm looking for food.
Well, I'll tell you, if I could remember any of the entrees in this movie, which is really a satire of the money class and hot cuisine.
Yeah, it's satire and skewering of the people who have enough wealth to do something like this.
Yeah. At $1,250 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
Each one.
And it didn't even involve a presidential campaign.
Right. Amazing. Yeah. So this is Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Who was nominated for a Golden Globe for this role.
Yeah.
And Anya Taylor-Joy is also nominated.
Yeah.
The film isn't nominated for anything else.
No, it's it's what's funny about this movie is it's one of those that's hard to categorize because a lot of people have said this year has been a great year for horror movies.
Okay.
With stuff like, you know, Prey on Hulu and The Barbarian and just a bunch of real interesting horror stuff. And I've heard people throw this in there. And I'm like, I don't know if this is horror. It certainly is horror adjacent. It's more of a thriller. So, I mean, it does deal with uncomfortable things.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of why it fits. But even then, I mean, suspense? I don't know how you would pigeonhole a movie like this.
I'll tell you where it falls on suspense is we know what the ending is going to be way early in the film.
They yes and no. You don't know exactly how the ending is going to be.
No, but you do know.
Tell you what's going to happen.
They reveal at a certain point. They reveal way too early, I think.
Really?
Because I like suspense. I'd like not to know what's going to happen to them.
What's interesting is normally I'm not a fan of them revealing, but I guess the way I would phrase it is you find out what the end game is, but you don't know how it's going to be played
that's
out.
That's true.
You don't know where the pieces on the board are going to be.
I was still drawn to it. I still was intrigued by it, even when I knew what the plan of the chef.
Yes.
Played by Ralph Fiennes.
Yes. The basic story is this group of people, a whole bunch of hoity-toity
12
people
of them,
who can each...
Like
yeah.
the apostles.
Yeah, they can afford the $1,200 a plate meal. They all go to this famous chef's private island where he has a very high-class restaurant, and they're all going for an exclusive meal. And there's some... Let's just say there's ulterior motives to what's going to happen that night, and the fly in the ointment is one of the people was a last minute replacement.
Yeah, Anya Taylor Joy plays Margot, I think her name
Margot,
is.
Margot, yeah,
and she is all of us kind of looking askance at what the hell's going on.
She's the audience surrogate. She's the average person who's pulled back because like all the different characters they got like John Leguizamo plays like a has-been actor,
yes.
They've got Janet McTeer plays a restaurant critic, and then you've got these corporate investors, and you've got these people who can afford to eat at a place like this, and she's just like you or me, who Olive Garden might be our splurge.
Well, they've got moments such as the couple who'd been there 11 times,
something like that,
and he can't remember one food in that one entree. He can't remember anyone,
yeah.
which is all of us. I can't remember any that the film offers, except there's something about seaweed.
and that's the thing. What they do is that when you hear when they plate something and they bring it to you, and then they tell you there's something that you wouldn't eat normally, covered with reduction and an emulsion. They're throwing all of those terms that if you're not used to them, it just sounds like a bunch of word salad.
I think they even had snow on one plate, as I recall.
Well, yeah, like somehow they make like fluffy ice.
But Kev, the pièce de resistance has to be the breadless... Breadless bread plate.
Well, and even that one is... It reeks so much of BS... But there's this disconnect where some people are like, well, this is where they recognize the BS, they see through it immediately as, you know, it's basically just a bunch of dips but no bread,
right.
And then there are people who fall into it who are like, well, it must be important if the chef says it's important.
Right. Yes. And
you still don't know whether the chef actually thinks that this was a brilliant idea or if he's messing with them from the beginning.
Exactly. And Fiennes is very good at that.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in his eyes that he captures the menace that I think it really is there.
Yeah.
Because from the beginning, and you know, you mentioned about the horror film, and I agree. This is not what I would think of as a standard horror, although there are moments that would qualify. There's a couple of moments that would qualify.
Well, and there's scenes and moments. And if you've seen the trailer, you know what I'm talking about. But there's parts that draw directly to horror movies where I can say, well, that comes right out of this movie, or this comes. There's a breed of movies that do this, and so they play into that. But it's not overtly done, and that's, I think, it's a little more subtle, which surprises me because this kind of showed up with little fanfare. This dropped, yes. I think, like in just a couple weeks ago, and it's doing quite well under the radar. I mean, it's coming in,
yes.
it's flying in under Black Panther and everything, but it's had an incredible hold for the week, and then of course some Golden Globe nominations, and I mean, I think it's more of a testament to The this is one of those middle releases that everybody's bemoaning people don't go to, but people do. There's just it has to offer something different. It has to offer something unique and entertaining.
Oh yes, and when you get the young man played by Nicholas Hoult, the Tyler, who is the pretentious,
he's
young
the
man.
Date for. And Margot.
Right. And he is the one who shelled out the $1,250 for her.
Yeah.
And
$2,500 for her.
Not really pleased with her kind of insouciance about all this. And he adores the chef, Chef Slowick.
He is a foodie taken to an nth degree.
Yes. And I just have to say this. The brilliant part of this is the chef forces him to cook. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's completely pretentious.
Yeah. Well, and it's. I think it's a satire of opulence, and it's a satire of this level of foodism.
Yes.
Where it becomes more than just eating, but at the same time, it's a satire of self-importance.
Yes.
And of social media and the way people see themselves and an image.
Yeah.
And I think it does it relative. It doesn't. There are times where it's a little bit on the nose, but I think overall it's relatively subtle in moving from criticism to criticism. Maybe the moments aren't that subtle, but I don't think it overstays and it doesn't beat you over the head. It throws it out there and it might be pretty blatant. Then they move on to something else that they're going
to... And he throws it out to us, too.
Yeah.
So as we're watching it, all of a sudden when Hoult gets on and acts like a goofball, I say, well, gee, that's a little bit of me. I've been throwing around some names of food that I've eaten, you know, and I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
But I do like to cook, but there's not even close to his. And I love the way Fiennes' character introduces each meal and the background he gives it. And while it sounds fluffy, it still is pretty interesting to see the way he approaches it.
Well, that's what they do at these things. Yeah. They I mean, I've never done the high level, but I've had nice, decent. I've never had that level of food, but I've seen stuff plated in a very alluring manner, and you know, kind of been confounded by it. Let's just put it that way.
Kevin, at this point, what would you advise our audience?
I would advise going in knowing the least amount possible. Don't watch the trailer and enjoy it. It is one of the more unique movies you'll see this year. There was a movie that came to mind when I saw this film, and I'm sure you've seen it because I believe I saw you in the screening of it, but it was several years ago, and I'm curious as to your thoughts on the film, The 100-Foot Journey. Did you see that?
No,
do you remember what it was about?
No.
It was about Helen Mirren. I think they lived in India, and she had a restaurant, and this Indian family had a restaurant like across the street.
Yes,
and
I did.
It was 100 feet away.
Yes.
And the whole thing was to get her to respect the son as a chef.
Ah, yes.
And he was a brilliant cook. And it was a very charming movie until he then moves to, I don't know, whatever, New York, San Francisco, or somewhere like that, and opens his own restaurant and became a pretentious pile of poo, where he was suddenly plating food and using those, like, the pairing, the one thing that they do in these things is they've scanned food, and they find out what tastes go together and pair that might seem really odd, and they'll put them together and have these unique combinations. And it went from being, I'm making a good, solid meal that just tastes good and you can have with friends, to I'm having a pretentious meal that costs way too much money.
Yes, you know. And I'm also thinking of Anthony Bourdain, how things get out of control in our culture.
Oh, sure.
And in some ways, I'm obsessed about food.
Yeah.
If I go somewhere or I'm going to do something, I always plan what I'm going to eat first and where I'm going to eat it and take it very carefully.
Oh, sure.
And I have friends who are even more careful about their choice of food. So it's a part of our culture. So I found this kind of interesting. Then I remembered films that I just made me want to eat, like Babette's Feast years ago. It was just a sumptuous feast without satire. It was just people who love food.
Well, but you get, like, what you love of food comes out of the weirdest movies. Like, if you go see Paddington, you're going to want fish and chips.
Right.
After watching The Whale, I really wanted a Three Musketeer bar and fried chicken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you've seen it.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Someone wrote an editorial on the Times yesterday, and
it can be polarizing,
right? And excoriated it for thinking that it was treating them like a carnival act.
I disagree, but sure. Okay. I mean, it's there's a lot more with anything Aronofsky does. It's not a surface film in any way.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of movies will make you think of food and make you want to eat. And one of the things that I found, what I liked the criticism this movie was making, was to the people who have access to that level of pretension, we'll say, how they convince themselves they're discerning, but really it's a level of snobbery, where if you don't understand what they're doing and you don't understand why it's important that they use this technique and that technique, and you've not had hot cuisine or whatever, that you are somehow beneath everybody else. And you know what, doggone it, you know, sometimes you just want a cheeseburger. You know, sometimes you just want a pizza or fried chicken.
Yes.
You know, and I made a joke on when we did the radio segment, I made a joke about Olive Garden, that if Olive Garden is your level, who cares if Olive Garden is your splurge? If you like it, enjoy it. And have fun with it. There's nothing wrong with that.
And you mentioned the cheeseburger, of course, is appropriate in this film.
Yes.
And I wondered if they were going to move toward cannibalism.
Well, that's funny, because I actually had somebody bring that up to me, because I believe this came out right around when Bones and All hit. And in watching the trailers, you didn't know exactly. You know something nefarious is going on, but you don't know exactly what's going on. And it certainly feels like it could lean that way, which you know, maybe it does. And we just missed that part.
Yeah. I kept waiting for the chef to disclose that he had used human parts for that. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
But a tribute to the suspense that you talked about, to that part of the film that's not shown but is underneath, and which is a property of horror films sometimes, but this is so subtle and so difficult to call a horror film, but there's the horror part, is that I'm not sure what's going to happen, except I have an idea of what the end game is, but getting there.
Yeah, it is about the journey.
Yes.
and that's the thing. That's really hard to do in today's marketplace of movies, especially letting the studio cut a trailer that gives away, I believe, too much.
Oh, Kevin, please, yes.
But what I think it gives away are the either not jokes, but the moments that land.
Yes,
that you know are coming because you've seen it, but you still don't know exactly what the motivations are and that sort of thing, and that's hard. That's a hard tightrope to walk.
Yep.
In this day and age where they want to just give everything away, and it's layered in enough that you can't blurb it in a trailer. So even though you know something bad's going to happen, but you don't know how it's going to play out. And I think that's what gives some movies some strength.
Yes, yeah. I recently went to a new restaurant in our town.
Did they serve human?
And it was delicious.
Oh, good.
And it was expensive. And I think it's going to go down.
Really?
It's downtown. And when I was there two times at lunch, because lunch is significantly cheaper than the...
Sure.
Yeah. There were very few, if any, other.
Well, I mean, just going to Olive Garden's more expensive now. it's out of the budget for some people now. And so a place like this... Yeah. It is a difficult time economically.
Oh.
Anytime you have flux, it's a difficult time economically for luxuries.
Oh.
And eating out is a luxury for some people, but eating out at a high-class restaurant is an even greater luxury.
Yeah. Inflation just seems to be stoking everything.
Yeah.
Very difficult. But I'll tell you, I love it.
Yeah.
And tomorrow morning I'm walking with a buddy to go and get beignets.
Oh.
Now, see, I can afford that.
Yeah.
It's right down the street.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah.
I still am waiting for the food here. You promised the menu.
I did.
And I don't see a tiny little haute cuisine niblet anywhere.
And you are so right. And you're always invited here for Christmas turkey, but it's a special turkey.
Oh, okay.
It's an herb, lemon herb.
Oh,
turkey.
Wow.
All right. So, but anyway, until that time, Kevin Carr, what would you advise our audience? Concerning the menu, starting Ralph Fiennes.
I would say, you might want to put in an order for this one.
I think for people who have some taste, so to speak, in movies,
yes.
That this would really be a good one. That if you can talk to your companion about the movie, this is one that will spark some conversation for you.
It's a pleasant surprise.
The menu.